thumbs up. Oh, yeah. Producer's choice, Jacob. Yeah, it's Busted Pencils. Producer's choice day. I know for a lot of people out there, your favorite time for Busted Pencils is me, Dr. Tim Slacker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and yes, Jacob, as you guys make fun of me, chairman of the board, or anyway, hey, as I was saying before we got on the show, so I enjoyed a nice road trip to the Pennsylvania state capital of Harrisburg, and got to be on a panel talking about the future of higher education, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but yeah, Jacob, potentially some new guests, and I will say right now, yes, that was Johnny Lupinacci messing with his microphone right then for everybody who heard that.
Oh, you can hear me tightening up the stand here. It was loose.
Yeah, that was not Jacob's sound effects.
Little creaks.
Thank you.
Hey, Tim, though, little teaser. I'd like to tease it out for folks listening into this drop. You know, it would be good to catch us this weekend because, Tim, I want to ask you about this panel.
Okay.
Really have you dive into it this weekend on our Saturday show. It'll be wonderful to talk about sort of the future of higher ed. I'm back. It's my first week back in school and classroom and meeting with my colleagues. And as you would predict, talking a lot about AI in our teaching and in classrooms. So I'm just excited. I think we could probably dive into it.
Oh, yeah.
Not, you know, our special segment.
No. I appreciate it. Great idea. So
some live this, planning with you listeners here.
I love this. You know, we're in Friday's Jacob's choice. So this Saturday, yeah. What happened in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at the Future of Higher Education Summit? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about Saturday. But now though, Jacob, it's all your show, buddy.
And for the people out there listening who are thinking, well, this can't really be behind the scenes action. No, it really is that slapdash and unprofessional. We do it on the fly and we just come up with things. And I do think that'll be great, though, Tim, because the only interaction I had with you on that story was to yell at you about making sure to book guests while you're mingling with people. So I do have more questions we can get to get into the full thing.
Just so okay, the unprofessional on the fly in it, but I actually was working on a couple potential guests for Saturday. But Johnny, that idea I thought was so great. I'm like, okay, look, let's do that, man. You know,
and it's not so much on the fly as it's improvisation.
See, there it is.
Also known as to us educators out there, you know, teachers, listen, the teachable moment.
That's
you know
it.
Those moments. And so I was like, hold on, we should have a whole hour where we just talk about this panel. Why don't we do that on Saturday?
There it is. Okay.
Meanwhile, it's Friday.
That's a Saturday plan. But fellas,
it's a Friday once again.
And you know what that means. It's time for Producer's Choice. Live from sunny Hollywood, California.
Racine, Wisconsin.
It's the Busted Pencils Go to Hollywood. Joined tonight by Dr. Tim Slacker.
I'm not available right now. However, if you click here, Tim's digital twin will gladly help you converse.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
I'm going to go on a wild one. This is for you listeners out there, because what do I got to lose?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for your host, Chairman of the Boards, Producer Jacob.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Disembodied voice, whoever you are, really appreciate that nod of confidence. I'm Producer Jacob, and this is a very special episode of the Producer's Choice Show, because for just the second time in all of human history, Busted Pencils is going to Hollywood. Last time, I asked our guests about their favorite depictions of education on the silver screen. Those works which best depicted what it's like to be a teacher, which showed students for how they really are, which presented schools that real-world teachers could recognize from their real lives. Today, I've invited Drs. Tim Slacker and Johnny Lupinacci back on the program for something a little bit different. Today, we're going to discuss our top three television teachers. Good, bad, realistic, ridiculous. Today isn't so much about accuracy as it is about celebrating characters in educational television
that we have enjoyed. So today we're going to start with our third favorite teacher and work our way up to the top. Does that make sense?
I got it.
Okay, so your third favorite and work your way to the top. Okay.
Now to do this fairly, we're going to go in order of seniority, meaning Tim, you get to go first.
All right. So the question right to me, my third favorite television teacher, you know what? And it's got to be Gabe Cotter. Welcome back, Carter.
Ow!
From the 70s. A little bit of Horseshack, you know, the Sweat Hogs. And just a little bit of, you know, I was in, you know, later elementary into middle school when that show was going on. And, you know, the reaction at the time from parents was horrification that this type of behavior and these types of students were being featured on television because, God, you know, that's going to give us students a bunch of ideas of how to misbehave in school. They weren't wrong. I mean, you know, anybody who knows about that was like, hey, Mr. Carter, we did, you know, we did all those things. They're Arnold. Yes, we did do those things. But looking back on that now, though, I really do see that as Gabe Cotter was this teacher who actually had come from the ranks of those types of students. We called them sweat hogs on the show, but the students that couldn't be reached by traditional schools, and they put them all together in this classroom. And what a great teacher to have, which was he himself had been, quote, one of those castaway type of students or cast out. Reminds me a lot of Dr. Joanna Rosado and Hallie and their real school in talking about, you know, what they did was, you know, took the students in, that people kind of threw away, sweat hogs at that time. And what was it about him that he did? It was actually a really genuine perspective. He treated them like people, and he himself presented his job as a teacher to actually engage them in the realities they were each facing. And each of those characters, whether it's Vinnie Barbarino, Arnold Horseshack, was the other one, Washington, they were all stereotypes for sure, hardcore stereotypes, but they each had that kind of cast out, you know, on the fringe type of character that put in front of a classroom. Of course, they acted the ways they acted, but there was a commentary there of how do you then make actually sweat hogs into human beings? And the way you do that is you put a great teacher who, guess what? The trick was no trick at all. He just treated them like the real people they were. And he himself. And so that's my third favorite teacher. Gabe Cotter, welcome back, Cotter.
That's a great answer, Tim. And the thing is, I'm going to mark that off because I was wondering how many of these guys will I have never heard of? And that's the first one. So thank you, Tim, for getting that on the board. Now, all right. Johnny, tell me, buddy, your third favorite teacher from the television.
Oh, man. Well, this is tough. You know, I could say... It's a toss-up, so I'm going to go with here. Yeah, geez, it's so hard to narrow it down. I mean, the first time I saw a teacher on TV that inspired me was the Fonz. when he became the shop teacher in Happy Days. Loved Happy Days growing up, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head of like, hey, man, I could be like that guy. I could just become a teacher, ride a motorcycle, and teach in shop class. No, but really, I think the teacher portrayed in television that's in third spot for me. There was a show in the late 90s, a sitcom, Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I don't know if you remember that. Mark Cooper was a former pro basketball player who became, you know, a teacher. And it was sort of a little bit of like the show itself, I guess, is like, you know, mishmash of, you know, Tony Danza, retired basketball or tired baseball player, and Who's the Boss, and there's a theme here of like athletes that become teachers. But no, I'm hanging with Mr. Cooper. I think it was played by Mark Curry. But yeah, Mark Cooper in that show, it was like, it was pretty early on reminded me of like, hey, that's a really cool dude. Like, you know, teaching kids, being a high school teacher, you know, having a life outside of school, but kind of the overlap of that. It's in my three spot. It's my bronze medal of TV teachers.
So that's Mr. Cooper, you say, correct?
Yeah, Mr. Right. Cooper.
Let me just never heard of that. Okay, let me jot that down. Okay, that is a great pick, Johnny. Again, I don't know, never heard of him, but I think it's a great pick.
Jacob, you know, in the late 90s, you weren't watching sitcoms, man.
That was the problem. I don't know what I was doing back in the early to mid to late 90s, mostly not existing. But
do you want one I know you'll know? Do you want me to slide in a bronze?
Okay. We'll get to it, Johnny. There's plenty of time. Okay. We got three. I'll give mine. My number three is a character from TV who I don't even like, but it's Peggy Hill from King of the Hill. She's a substitute Spanish teacher. And you know why I'm bringing this up, guys? Because we need representation for our substitute teachers as well. Yes. And we did a whole program here talking about how to get involved in teaching, and a great way is to start out by becoming a substitute teacher. Peggy Hill never advanced from there. That's fine. Don't really like her. She's terrible. But her profession is a noble one, and her entry point into that noble profession, I think, is worth talking about. The larger problem here was that I, too, realized after selecting the topic that I didn't really remember that many specifically from TV teachers. All the ones in my head were in movies. That's what makes That's what makes this the tournament of champions. You know, you have to be really sharp for us to compete in this one. So Peggy Hill, that's my number three. Dr. Tim Slecker, would you give us your number two TV teacher?
All right. Jacob, I'm going to bet before I put this one out there, this is another one that you probably won't remember or even maybe never heard of, but love the actor Howard Hessman. And in fact, first exposures to Howard Hessman for any of you Gen X people out there. Yes, Dr. Johnny Fever as the incredible DJ at WKRP in Cincinnati left the DJ booth and became the teacher at Millard Fillmore High School, fictional in Manhattan, and became an incredibly great teacher who was in the show Head of the Class. He was Mr. Charlie Moore.
That's right.
You know, it's just like, loved that show because I think I appreciated the acting skills of how Howard Hessman went from Johnny Fever to Mr. Moore. But again, there too, a unique group of students that he worked with. These were gifted and talented students. I guess you'd say, again, you know, fringe group of students, and a teacher who met them, you know, regularly over the time that show aired, where they were and who they were, and brought to them a sense of, you know, the teaching and them as learners is really, again, a conversation about reality and things that are going on. And so, again, it was, you know, it wasn't a show characterizing teachers as, you know, compliance officers. It was another show of a teacher in a role that really kept the human aspect of who they were. And then when they became that classroom teacher, they maintained that humanity. And it was actually that humanity that actually created that kind of sense of going, this is what a great teacher is. And so Howard Hessman, Mr. Moore, my second favorite.
Tim, you were talking about in the show we did on the inspirations and those good moments you had as students that helped you become good teachers. And you talked about having teachers that sound to me like Mr. Moore from Head of Class. Did young Tim see some of that in this show?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I said. I saw it in Gabe Kaplan was the actual actor who played Mr. Cotta. And again, saw that both of them. And even at that point, there was something about the like, boy, teachers don't have to be jerks. They don't have to be compliance officers. They can actually really just be in relationship. And in fact, it's that type of teacher that brings out the best in every student.
They can be super cool dudes too. That's the fun part. Now, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, things are heating up. Can you give us your number two greatest TV teacher of all time?
Yeah, it's a good tie-in. You know, Tim Sharon, his, you know, head of the class, and the way that, you know, teachers don't have to be compliance officers is a good segue into this one, because it's a little heavier. This is a serious one. But I think I plugged it last time we did a Hollywood show, that the television series, if you could call it that, I think you can, The Wire, right? The season that goes through Baltimore Public Schools. Well, there's a character on there, Roland, right, who was a police officer who didn't like being a police officer. It wasn't a good fit for him. It wasn't, you know, where he excelled, who found his kind of identity and found himself in being a teacher. Roland, or otherwise known as Prez, which is a shortening of his, you know, hard to pronounce last name. But Roland Prez, man, he, you know, for the folks who haven't watched it, I learned so much. I was also already a teacher, but I was learning so much about navigating, you know, the corruption of an urban school district, of, you know, politics and that, and school policies. And then also finding a way to do, we've talked about it here on Busted Pencils, to do teaching that isn't about being a cop. And so what better than a former cop who's finding what works and doesn't work in an urban school in Baltimore, right? So Prez, it's a heavy watch. It's not as light and fun and inspiring, but it was humanizing. It also helped me, I think, inspire that like it was real to struggle with being a teacher, right? Even though I didn't relate to being a cop before or any of those things, it was like, hey man, this is really tough to navigate these things when you're faced with, this is the job and we can't do the job because of the red tape. And that's me putting it mildly, right? But inspiring guy, accurate depiction, and a great all around series, The Wire. But the season, there's a whole season of just public school in Baltimore, and it sort of features Prez. And that's what I'm going to go with on this one. Roland, the teacher and The Wire.
It's kind of interesting for me because just like the last one with Tim, and the way we can tie that back to some of the things he's talked about before, the themes that carry over between the interest we have in life and in education, and then what we find interesting in characters, like talking about teachers who become teachers later in life, coming from a different profession, finding that they enjoy teaching, becoming teachers. You don't have to be a cop in the classroom, even if you were previously a police officer. So these things pop up, and it kind of shows us that a lot of the characters we like relate a lot to who we are as people. Let's see what that says about me. Coming up, number two, my second favorite TV teacher. You know, not all heroes wear capes. And some teachers in TV end up manufacturing crystal meth in New Mexico.
Yes.
And that's why my second favorite teacher is Walter White from Breaking Bad. Good show. Maybe it's that I like bald guys with beards. That obviously never comes up on this program. But Walter White, basically chemistry teacher in high school, he finds out that he has cancer, and that motivates him due to the injustice in this country, fellas, with medical care problems and being able to afford your own medical care. Does what any reasonable person would do. It becomes a drug kingpin. Very interesting show. Good show. I won't say any extra things about that. That's the basic setup for anyone who hasn't seen it, but I think a lot of people have. There you go. Walter White, Breaking Bad. Guys, do you think he was a pretty good teacher besides some of the extracurriculars?
You know,
which
what?
I call,
you know,
essential curriculars, by the way.
Yeah, Jacob, he was a phenomenal teacher. That's the thing. I grappled with this. It was one of the first ones that popped into my head after Jessica Day from The New Girl. We'll leave that for other obvious reasons of why, you know, Zooey Deschanel popped up as my favorite TV teacher of all time. But Walter, you know, popped into my head, and I thought, well, actually, you know, one, Jacob, he was a stellar teacher. That's the whole point, like, that you said, the commentary, like, you know, our healthcare system can't even take care of an amazing teacher, right, who gets cancer. He can't afford his, you know, stuff, and, like, in the the stress and the burden of being a teacher. You can't be in treatment for your cancer and whatnot and all this. But he's a phenomenal teacher. Also, I loved this about it, Jacob. It's like, don't sleep on your high school science teacher. Like, they know some stuff. Yes. They know some stuff, man. Like, they're one diagnosis and neglectful, you know, moment away from becoming the local kingpin. But I thought I better not pick that one, because the larger part of that show, you know, he's kind of a bad dude. Mm-hmm. But Jacob, from like my expertise in education, Tim, you can see if you agree with this. You know, when I started watching that show, because they went through the rumor mill of teachers to say, hey, you know, there's a show about a teacher who gets diagnosed with cancer and becomes a drug dealer, but starts making meth. And we all chuckle and we're like, well, I mean, not that far off, right? Like, wouldn't be that hard to do. And, you know, so, but I started watching it, and they show like clips of like him as a teacher, and they talk about, you know, who he is as a mentor to young people. And in fact, you know, his number two guy is one of his former students, right? So, you know, you look at that and you say, if you take the best of the best, Walter is, you know, a top-notch teacher. You know, his origin story is pure, but then he goes to the dark side, obviously, as a drug kingpin.
His origin story is as pure as his product becomes through rigorous chemistry. I didn't even think about it on this level, but there are actually a lot of things about Walter's background as a teacher that say a lot about education in this country, about, you know, this guy who is totally unappreciated despite what he does being important, the medical stuff, all this. We could do a whole episode talking about what are the actual thematic themes about Breaking Bad and how they relate to teaching. But that's my number two. Dr. Tim, hit us with your number one TV teacher.
My number one TV teacher. It's a twist on this one. You know, it's what I do. It's a curve. But my favorite, who became a teacher in a unique way, but Data from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Ooh.
First of all, loved it in the series finale. He actually, if you saw the series finale, it goes between three different timelines, past, present, and future. And in the future timeline, Data is a renowned physicist at Cambridge. And when they show him, first of all, I love he's got patches on his jacket that he wears, and it's the smoking. He's got now gray streaks, you know, embedded in his hair, because he's Data. He's an android. He doesn't age truly. But to take on the role of a renowned physicist at Cambridge, he, you know, of course, made himself look like a renowned physicist, the stereotype of a chemist. But it was actually what Data did throughout the show. And if you watched any of the other things, he was a philosophy teacher. Hmm. He was a philosophy teacher in every episode that dealt with him, what it was that made humans human, and how he spent his entire existence trying to be human. But because of one simple drawback in his programming, he didn't have the ability to have real emotions. He could only mimic emotions, and he never got to feel them. But because of that, he really got to take what you would say the most objective view of humanity, and would try to make sense of that. And it was really an incredible way to kind of present the philosophy, the heart of philosophy. What does it mean to be human? I thought the character of Data taught us a lot about how to ask that question. So that's my favorite teacher right there. And because I'm going for, you know, something inspirational, and I like the idea of getting deep with the question of what is it that makes us human? So there it is. I don't know if that's too much of a curve for this special episode, Jacob, but that's what I got, man.
I like the creative answers, Tim. What?
Okay.
What answer did Data arrive at as to what it means to be human?
You know, I think at one point he kind of came to the sense of recognizing that the unanswerable situations and the reactions that humans had, he said he could never predict. But yet, as an algorithm, truly as an AI, you know, he was a prediction machine and thought for sure that he could always predict the correct human emotional behavior for a situation. And he was always surprised at, given, you know, mostly in Star Trek, intense situations, how different humans and even different aliens reacted because of their own kind of emotional humanity. And he was always surprised by the reality of what it meant to be alive, let's say, because we're talking about aliens, as opposed to being an algorithmic program.
Would you say that your love of data is why you love AI so much? Is this possible, Tim?
There's a link. There might be a link.
There might be a link. I might have to throw that question into my AI and kind of ask it to kind of do a deep dive into my psyche and my relationship and understanding of data. But maybe that can be a whole new show. My digital twin, maybe we should ask him, as you put out there, Jacob.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, drum roll, please. I didn't prepare one. What is your number one TV teacher?
Yeah, I think this one's a clear number one for me, Jacob. It's a more recent show, so there may be some recency bias here. But I really enjoyed the series All American, which is about a group of high school students basically, you know, going through sports together and life, and it carries into college, and it sort of loosely follows a real story of an NFL superstar, but there was a character in it, Preach, who was a former gang member and got involved in the school, started turning his life around, volunteering his time. You know, he was mentored by a coach who is sort of one of the main characters on there, Billy Barker. And I would have picked Billy Barker, but he's not technically a teacher, but he was a coach, right? And he became principal of the school. But then Preach is sort of this guy who becomes this history and English lit teacher and after school programs and, you know, coaching people and sharing his life experiences in a positive direction in an urban school. It was set in Crenshaw. And you could tell my affinity towards urban education as, you know, being a former Detroit teacher and a kid in Detroit and sort of where I cut my teeth in education. But the idea is Preach, which is played by Kareem Grimes, right, in the series All American. I just love it. It just reminds me, again, recency bias. It reminds me of teaching, of those, even though you're teaching, say, Shakespeare, you're relating it to the experiences in your neighborhood of you growing up, of the wise ways you can pass on mentorship to students. And they capture that in the show really well. I mean, authentically. I mean, it's like, it's not all about sports. It's not all about sensational things happening in teen lives. It's about all the way around growing up, right? And how a good teacher can make a huge difference in people's lives, just in the mundane. So really love Preach's story. I love Preach's character. And he's my number one teacher.
And now for me, unveiling the actual best teacher in the history of television from my favorite TV show ever, a show I've watched 10 times probably through from beginning to end, and I'm in the middle of doing it right now at home. It's Dr. House from House.
That was going to be one of mine too, Jacob, but I was like, is he a teacher? I mean, he kind of is.
Kind of. That's why I went with him. And I saw him on your list, and I wasn't going to say anything. If you used him, I was just going to flip out. I was going to let that happen. But
No, that's all you, my guy. That's all you.
Thankfully, there were enough TV teachers to let it trickle down to me, my favorite guy ever. Dr. House, for people who are not familiar with Dr. House, he's a little bit prickly, but he's a teacher, a life coach, but mostly a doctor who solves medical mysteries because he's compelled to do so. He's got a bit of a problem with them, but he just has to solve medical mysteries. The teaching aspect comes in where he has these young fellow doctors that follow him as part of his team. It's a bit of a rotating cast over the course of 8 seasons, but he brings these young doctors in, and he learns about them, and they learn about themselves, and it's a great show. You got to watch it. I love House. It's the best show of all time. I don't know why I love it so much. It's just it is so much fun. Johnny, tell us about House. Because apparently you watched it too.
I watched it a lot. I loved the show. And I put it on my list because I never really thought of it as a teaching show. And I was a little bit later in my high school career, and I had switched from teaching in the urban context into kind of a wealthier suburban setting. It was a little bit of an elite school that I was going to go teach at. And I got assigned my marching orders to be, you know, with my class. And of course, as always, I was hired for a specific task and to work with some of the students who struggled, who had behavior problems. And this was the strictest environment I was ever a teacher, like all the protocols, like had to have certain things turned, lesson plans turned in beforehand, all these different ways, micromanagement of my teaching. First time I experienced that as an educator. And it was, I did it, but I did it differently all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a little bit prickly at that stage in my career. I had been a veteran teacher, and I had known what works for kids, especially for kids who struggle. Right. I was like, you just got to treat, like Tim said, just don't have to be a jerk to them, but you also have to find relatable and engaging things. Well, I had a couple of administrators who didn't understand that. So they called me in one day about 2 weeks in, and the guy who hired me was also an administrator. So this was one of those big schools where they have all kinds of formalities, and a couple of administrators are like, you know, you gotta change what you're doing. You can't just do whatever, and you can't just teach the way you're teaching. And the one guy in the room who was like advocate of bringing me on board, he said, has anybody ever seen House? And people are like, yeah, I know that show. And I said, I brought this guy in because to me, he's like Dr. House in the high school. And I was like, oh yeah, that was cool, man. Ego boost for me as a teacher. But Jacob, it always stuck out to me. I kept watching that show as, you know, somebody who's highly capable, who knows what needs to get done, and who is, yes, sometimes prickly, but most of the time prickly to the people who deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I said, there's some drama stuff that, you know, brings in some other things. But it also helped me as a young teacher think about, you know, what I am primarily is, I know what's best in education. I know what works for learning math and growing up in schools, especially for kids who are struggling, right? Or who may be categorized as struggling, but they're just fine. They're just labeled that way.
Yeah.
You know, to advocate for them. And if that meant sometimes being prickly, you know, to the people who needed it, it meant that. So it helped me sort of gain a clearer, more straight shooter direct, like, we know what we need to do and we're going to do it. Much like how House would diagnose rare and sometimes like non-existing diseases or
preposterous problems.
He would find them and he would narrow them down. He's sort of like this. Yeah, he's sort of like the Sherlock Holmes of the medical world, right? Yeah. So, Jacob, that's my biggest affinity towards him is like at one point an administrator said I was like the Dr. House of the high school. And I was like, yeah, man, don't you forget it. Stormed out of there like, yeah, and don't mess with me because I'll give you the biz like Dr. House.
See, I'm glad I asked you to tell us why you like House because it makes total sense. You're an outside-the-box thinker like Dr. House. You walk with a cane. You're a British guy pretending to be American.
Super genius with deductive skills of Sherlock Holmes.
Absolutely. That is what I think of when I think of you, so it makes perfect sense. What a good show, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I feel really good
excellent
about this.
Friday.
Unfortunately, there's a bit of a formality here on the program at the end of every producer's choice. It turns out there's actually one more question. I didn't want to do this, but the higher ups handed this down to me. So is now a good time for you guys?
Yeah. Now's a good guy. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go. 60 seconds. Dr. Tim Slecker, convince the folks at home why your number one TV teacher is the best TV teacher over ours.
Oh, Wow. Well, the ability of an Android algorithm AI to contemplate humanity and always, quote, be surprised while not able to truly be surprised. To me, that's just he constantly left me with interesting kind of insights into some of the thoughts about existence that I've always had. Boy, I just jumbled that up, but that's what I got.
Well, that may be deep and philosophical, but my guy is mean and funny. So, you know, I it's kind of a toss-up. Johnny, give us the case for your guy over ours.
The quick one is Preach is real, man, and he is able to connect with young people and impart wisdom in a way where, like, he's vulnerable. He shows his flaws. The kids know who he is. He's got, you know, a reputation of notoriety, right, in the dictionary sense of it. But he turned his life around. And so his imperfections and his passion and care for the community and kids in the realest way reaches kids time and time again in that show. And I think that's, for me, why it makes it the best, because he reminds me of what it's about, being real, right, and raising that next generation up to learn from our mistakes and to be their best selves.
And as far as mine goes, my case, I don't really need 60 seconds because, as you saw, one of the other panel members agreed with me on mine. So that basically means I think the case is pretty clear, but it'll be up to the audience at home.
Show of hands, now!
They'll let us know in the comments and send their emails in. I look forward to hearing who their favorite TV teachers are and which one of us they think gave the best case. But Dr. Tim, I think there's time for one last thing.
Yeah, and now it's time for your moment of zen. Education becomes most rich and alive when it confronts the reality of moral conflict in the world.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Busted Pencils, producer Jacob's Choice. And remember to grab great podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website or at BustedPencils.com. Hey, and don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And be sure to grab next week's class and session on Wednesday. Well, and if you don't know, and whenever you're listening to this, whatever the next upcoming Saturday is, you can catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite, a blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.